You're listening to Farmcast Radio.
Welcome back to this episode of Farmcast Radio. You're joining me for the third segment. We just wrapped up our first two segments with Colorado Senator Jerry Sonnenberg, and our next two segments are dedicated to the Colorado Department of Agriculture as we speak to Colorado Commissioner of Agriculture, Kate Greenberg.
First off, I want to say thank you for joining me back inside the barn. I know we had a little bit of a hiatus since my dad's passing, so I just wanted to thank you for joining me again. As we catch up on what's happened with Colorado in agriculture. And since we have talked last, there's been a lot that's happened. A couple things that I want to talk about would be the two appointments that you have as far as deputy commissioner, as well as the new manager of the UBAP program that you have. Why don't you go ahead and talk about Hollis Glenn as far as the appointment for deputy commissioner?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got a lot of new positions. I think this is something that a lot of agencies and organizations are seeing. So I'm really excited about the opportunities we have. Hollis Glenn is filling a new role, a second deputy position that I created. So it's Deputy Commissioner of Operations. Hollis comes with lots of state experience. He's been running the ICS division, or the Inspection and Consumer Services division, at CDA for many years. So he oversees our field teams, weight and measures, commodity handlers, farm products and commodity handlers program. He oversees the PACFA program, the Pet Animal Facilities Act that we manage. So he's got a really great understanding of how the department works, how our programs serve agriculture, and what we need from an operational standpoint to make sure we're serving our customers. So really excited to have him in that role. We have the second deputy position, which is the Deputy Commissioner of Agriculture, open. That application closed last week, so I'm moving through the interview process. So there will be two deputies, one on the operations side and one more on the external side. BAP program manager, Dr. Rebecca Nemec, I appointed her to this position just about 2 weeks ago. Really excited to have her on board. We are focusing this program on education and prevention. This is going to be something we do transparently, collaboratively with the ag community. A lot of folks don't know that we do operate these two animal welfare programs, Bureau of Animal Protection being one and the Pet Animal Facilities Act being another. Bureau of Animal Protection is a very critical program, but the vast, vast majority of cases we deal with are non-agricultural cases. There are dogs, cats, horses, non-livestock, a lot of folks on the margins who are struggling. That might be somebody who fell into hard times and can't feed their animals. We get calls from all 64 sheriff's departments to get support for animal welfare cases. So this is something we're really, I feel, passionate about. We're a state where we need to show Coloradans that agriculture is committed to animal welfare, which we know we are. And this is a chance to do that with our ag community, with local law enforcement, with our veterinarian community, and everybody who's caring for animals out there across the state.
Yeah, I know some of the constituents that I've been talking to out on the Eastern Plains, they were a little bit concerned as far as doctor's appointment. But like you said, she's going to be geared towards a lot of the cases that you're going to be handling, which would be more or less some of the urban type of situations where there might be some animal neglect. Speaking of animal welfare, one of the things that came out yesterday, in fact, was the HPAI detection in the Midwest. And then your department as well released a statement as far as the Colorado poultry operations and how they should prepare for biosecurity and increasing that. Can you talk a little bit about as far as what the CDA is going to do as far as protection for biosecurity when it comes to HPAI, as well as potential swine fever that comes out if that were to possibly hit the fan?
Absolutely. This is a huge focus of ours, and I'm glad you brought it up. So high path avian influenza has been detected in two states in the U.S. I'm actually just getting back from our national association meeting. So we were there with the states who are dealing with this. We have a fantastic state veterinarian, Dr. Maggie Baldwin. This is part of her expertise, is understanding, tracking, and mitigating for foreign animal disease. So with high path avian influenza, we're doing a number of things. Of course, the information you've seen is coming from our state veterinarian's office, making sure anybody with a flock, that could be a backyard flock or a commercial flock, understands the protocols they should have in place for advancing biosecurity and protecting the flock. That's something our state veterinarian's office is always willing to help on as well, if there are questions about what that looks like. Dr. Baldwin has also led the effort on secure food supply planning across ag sectors in Colorado. And that's something we've done for African swine fever. In fact, before ASF was detected in the Western Hemisphere, Dr. Baldwin helped lead a multi-state training effort about how we respond if we do have ASF detected on North American soil. So I think there's a lot of folks, a lot of us in ag who just think it's a matter not of if, but of when. And so all of the planning, the communication, the biosecurity measures, and the education that our state vets office does is really critical for if and when those diseases do come here.
And it's important for the veterinarians and producers to report any of the suspicious disease events in poultry flock, as well as the swine or any livestock, to the state veterinarian's office, which Colorado can be reached at 303-869-9130. And of course, if it's after hours, you can leave a voicemail message and the on-call veterinarian will return your call. So switching up a little bit, I want to talk about conservation, if that's something you're willing to talk about, because on February 11th, there was some conservation districts that voted to merge. And I kind of wanted to get your input as far as the Big Thompson Conservation District and the Fort Collins Conservation District joining forces up there. Do you have anything that you want to add on that?
You know, that was really a vote by the two boards. So CDA didn't have, you know, a stake in that. We support our conservation districts. We've seen another merger earlier last year out on the Western Slope. You know, I think this makes 74 conservation districts now across the state. Each conservation district, as you know, Tucker, has a different amount of capacity to do their work. And I think where we've seen districts merge, it's because, you know, one or both don't have enough capacity to really serve their producers in their district. So I'm, you know, I'm hopeful that this merger will be a positive thing for producers in that region, and that will be better served just because there'll be more capacity by the merge.
Yeah, and conservation is always a huge key here in Colorado with our growing population and the dwindling of land and resources. It seems like Governor Polis has made a point to, you know, as his position with the Western Governors Association, to help form that task force on that collaborative conservation with the USDA and the Department of Interior. And so conservation is a big focus of CDA. I know I have one of the gentlemen out here. I'm actually at the 2022 Farming Evolution out in Holyoke, Colorado. And there's a gentleman from the Department of Agriculture out here who is talking about the STAR program. Is there anything you want to highlight in regards to the STAR program that producers might need to know about?
Absolutely. This is a relatively new program we've launched at the department. It stands for Saving Tomorrow's Agricultural Resources. It's part of our soil health program that we've been building, again, with the ag community for the last couple of years. The STAR program is the next phase in that. So it's a completely voluntary, incentive-based, five-star ranking program. So producers who want to participate can work with our staff. We're also working closely with CSU and a lot of other technical assistants in the field to essentially invest in soil health practices that lead towards certain outcomes. It could be water conservation, reduced inputs, greater productivity, could eventually have to do with carbon sequestration and climate mitigation as another potential revenue stream for producers. The five-star program, our hope is that companies will then see that program as a way for them to meet their sustainability goals as well. We're actually in conversation with a number of companies who are interested in paying a premium to producers participating in the program. So we really see it as a way to help absorb risk for producers looking to make a shift, both in practice and market, and then bring in that market opportunity to really value the stewardship that Colorado producers invest in every day.
So looking forward, as far as what your schedule goes, I know probably coming up in March, we've got a few things that you're going to be worried about, which would be a big thing would be the forum, Ag Forum on Colorado Agriculture, formerly known as the Governor's Forum. And what are you going to be partaking as far as the forum, as possibly the Ag Hall of Fame banquet and the Fruit and Vegetable Growers Association conference? Are you involved in those facets of the conferences?
All of the above. All of the above. In addition to that, the National Farmers Union is coming to Denver at the end of this month. So I'll be there speaking with NFU. So yeah, I think it's a bit of a hiatus right now on the conferences. I know you're at one. I'm just getting back, as I mentioned, from DC, meeting with our senators and other state departments of ag. But yeah, I will be at all those that you mentioned. I'll be co-emceeing the FFA Hall of Fame. FFA is doing another split event with Montrose being our other location. So Robbie LaValle will be co-emceeing with me out there. And just always, you know, I think that's probably the highest stakes event of the year, because the FFA officers are so well prepared and put on such a fantastic event. I need to make sure I'm on my A game because they certainly set the standard.
Well, that's going to be one thing that I'm going to have to be on my A game, because not only this year are we going to be there broadcasting the event, but as you probably have seen the agenda, my dad is going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. And so I'm going to have to get up and give a speech, which I'm going to try to get through emotionally. Definitely an honor. Like you said, it's a pinnacle for the year for the FFA students, as well as anybody in agriculture, as the community pays tribute to trailblazers in the industry in all facets. So I look forward to visiting with you down the road in that regard. I appreciate you taking the time with me today to visit with me. I know you're a very busy woman and you got a lot going on. So I really do appreciate the time.
We'll be back right after these messages. To find out more about Farmcast Radio and catch up on the latest news in agriculture, visit barnmedia.net.
Tri-State, a power supplier to electric cooperatives across the West, committed to a cooperative approach to a clean grid. Learn about Tri-State's Responsible Energy Plan at tristate.coop. That's tristate.co-op.
Colorado Livestock Association represents Colorado's livestock producers with a unified voice by advancing the interests of members, livestock, and the public. CLA members are cattle and sheep feeders, cow-calf producers, dairy farmers, swine operations, and agribusiness partners. We advocate for livestock producers in the regulatory and legislative arenas in Colorado. Learn more at coloradolivestock.org.
Sorting through the myths and misinformation to find facts about farming and food can be overwhelming. Colorado Farm Bureau has made the job easier for you by collecting credible answers to your most asked questions about food. Learn more about Colorado food and agriculture at mycoloradofood.com.
Did you know dairy farms recycle? Just like you, dairy farms recycle all kinds of things, even water, an average of 2 to 3 times. I'm Brock, and our dairy farm works to provide the best milk with the best commitment to the land we all live in. Thanks to cows, dairy farms can turn what humans can't eat into safe and wholesome milk. Learn more about dairy farmers' commitment to the land at dairydiscoveryzone.com.